Welcome, Rock Church. You know what? I'm encouraged by us. I'm encouraged that you're watching today. We're going to live stream this message both Saturday and replay it on Sunday at our regular times. I appreciate the flexibility. You know, we've always said, and I've thought about this today, that our church is people. It's not a building. And for the next couple weeks, at least, we get to try that out. And I believe it's true. And I am encouraged by that. We are a family, and I appreciate your flexibility. So I'm going to give a couple of announcements. Then the pastors asked me to share a little bit appropriately about where we're at as a church and where we can find hope in the midst of this particular crisis. And then we're going to have another song, and then we'll get to our Q&A. We'll finish up our Truth and Love and Culture series, which I'm excited about, with a panel discussion. So, just so you know, we have no large group gatherings through March. We've decided to do this out of wisdom, and we think it's the most loving thing, listening to what our officials are asking us to do, which means that we're going to push back our baby dedications. We will push back our men's conference. We'll postpone that. Our small groups, we're asking our small groups to use discretion on whether you meet or not. And if you're in a small group that's continuing to meet, listen, if you don't feel well or you're just not comfortable, then by no means do you have to go. Don't feel pressure to have to go. But for sure, no large group meetings. That would include youth group and other meetings like that. So we're also going to start a new series next week, which we'll live stream again next week, called Fear Not. We're going to address, again, these issues that we're dealing with right now, and that I'll talk about a little bit tonight. Let me read the last sentence of our series description that we'll start next week. In this series, we're going to look into God's Word and see what the author of life teaches us about overcoming our fears, trusting His promises, and walking with courage and hope. We're excited about this series. We think it's going to be very, very fitting for what our country and what our church and what our families are going through right now. So tune in next week as well. We'll keep you updated, by the way, with our services and whether they'll continue on into March. You got to just go to our website. At the top of our homepage, you'll see a coronavirus update link. So click on that. Third Easter, we're planning on having Easter, hopefully with a full house. Hopefully at that time we'll be able to do that. And that'll be April 11th to 12th with early sunrise service at 8 a.m. on Sunday the 12th. We'll have our regular services as well. And we have baptisms. Again, this is all contingent on us meeting, which we're hoping to. Baptisms, if you haven't been baptized and you're born again, Bible-believing Christian, man, that's a great time to get baptized. So contact Brian. That's Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, at trc.life. And finally, don't forget, you can give online. We always mention that in our announcements. You're not here to give on the in the tithe box, but you can certainly continue to give online like most of you do. We just want to remind you that that would be a good thing to continue to do. So, where are we and where should we be as a church, as Christians? How should we respond to this crisis, the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic? We truly are entering an uncharted territory, and many of us are confused, maybe fearful of the future, and that's understandable. We understand that. We've talked a lot this week as pastors. We've been meeting online a lot together, talking about this, and it is unprecedented what we're going through right now. I don't think there's anyone in our country that has gone through something like this. And we just want to encourage you that God has answers for all of us. And that's what I want to briefly talk about. If you're fearful, if you're anxious, that is, again, understandable. But listen, I love what God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, God has not, He has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, there's times where we're fearful. We understand that. But that's our flesh. And God's Spirit is going to help us overcome that fear. And He can do that. And here's just a few reminders of how we should respond to this particular crisis. Number one, you don't need to panic. All right, we just want to encourage you with that. I'm not panicking. We're not panicking here. You don't need to get in a fist fight at Costco, which is happening over toilet paper or hand sanitizer or anything else. That doesn't have to happen. As Christians, we should not panic. We're not to be given to fear. I want you to know that we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this as a country, as a nation, as a state, as a church, your family. We're going to get through this. And in fact, I am convinced without a doubt that we're going to be stronger on the other side of this. You do not have to be in fear. We're going to get through this. You got to trust me on that. And I just want to also mention, because this is important, that what is being recommended to us and what we are doing as a church by not meeting in large groups, we're simply following the recommendations of those experts and government officials that are looking into these things. They're making suggestions. I just want to say this. Those are good suggestions. All right, these are good suggestions. We should follow them. You should follow them because what they are doing, you need to understand, is precautionary and it's preventative. You say, well, only 5 people in Utah or however many it is now have this. Why are we doing it? Because it's preventative. And you say, well, the Spanish flu killed so many hundreds of thousands of people. Well, if they'd done what we're doing, I think fewer people would have died. Really, that's what it's preventative. And we should be glad for that. And we should follow the advice of the experts by having distance learning, having live streaming, and not meeting in large groups. It's just a good idea. And we'll get through it. It'll be fine. So, how should a Christian act? First and foremost, listen to me. You and I, we need to be in faith. We need to be in faith. We need to step into faith. Faith is something that we need to make a choice and lean into. Fear is something that overcomes us. Faith is something we choose. And here's just a few suggestions or reminders for us. I actually got these from a devotional that I get from Tom Short. He's a good friend of mine. If you want to get his devotional, you can go to tomthepreacher.com. It's a great daily devotional. I'm just kind of highlighting some of the things he mentioned in a recent devotional. Here's 5 quick things, and then we'll have another song. As Christians, I really encourage you with these 5 things to remind you when it comes to being fearful. Here's the first thing you should do. You should pray. Really, we should all be praying. This is not something that's optional. We should be praying for grace. We should be praying for wisdom. We should be praying for protection. Can I encourage you not to neglect or overlook the power of prayer? Don't underestimate it. I love what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Listen, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The directive is don't be anxious. God tells us not to be anxious, to fear not. We see that over and over in the scriptures, but God doesn't just leave it there. God didn't say, guys, just get over this coronavirus stuff. Just why are you fearful about that? Just get over it. It's not what he says. He actually gives us the antidote for fear. It's right here. He says, don't be anxious, but in every situation, pray. Pray and petition with thanksgiving. Be joyful. Even in a crisis, be joyful and present requests to God. And if we do that, here's the promise, the peace of God, which transcends, which rises above all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. If you want the peace of God to replace the anxiousness, the way to do that is to pray. We need to be men and women who pray. Can I encourage you with that? Pray. In fact, we just learned yesterday that our president of the United States decreed tomorrow, which would be March 15th, the National Day of Prayer. So I love the fact that our nation, when faced with a national crisis, reaches out to God and says, we need national prayer. That's where the answer is. So I want to encourage you as a family, as a group of people, a small group, not a large group, but if you're together with people or you're just by yourself, take some time tomorrow and pray. You can go on our website and there's an article that talks about this particular decree and has some ideas on how to pray. It's in that hub, and that if you click on that link, that update link on our homepage, you'll see that. So we need to pray. That's the first thing. Number 2, we need to spiritually and emotionally be at rest, be at peace. And the way we do that is to understand we take what's happening from God. We believe God's in control. We believe this is his deal. He'll take care of it. So we can be at peace. Caution and concern are certainly in order, but panic is not. We can be cautious, and we should be concerned, and we should be wise, but we shouldn't panic and fear. That's not what God calls a Christian to do. We should be at peace in our spirits. We should be at rest, knowing that God is going to work things out for good. And we read that in Romans 8, right? Romans 8:28 says, and we know, I like the ESV. I'll read it because I haven't memorized it in this version. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. If you want mental rest, if you want peace in your heart, you need to understand that God is in control. This is God's deal. He is in control. He's not out of control. The coronavirus is not bigger than our God. It simply is not. This crisis is in his control. So don't be gripped by fear. That's the opposite of faith. Be ones that pray and trust God and apply faith. So pray, rest in the Lord. Number three, take precautions. This is just very practical. Be wise. Wash your hands. Use hand sanitizer. Do all the things that people are saying you should do. Cough like that or whatever that is. Do it the right way. Just be wise in how you spread germs or don't spread germs. Stay home if you're sick. Don't go to places where there's lots of people if you're sick. If you're at risk, if you're compromised, if you fall into some of the categories where you'd be considered at risk, then again, be very, very careful. Follow what the experts are saying. Follow, every one of us should follow the suggested guidelines. This is not silly. And I understand the mindset that says, this is so silly that we're out of toilet paper at Costco. This is so silly that you can't buy sugar. It's all empty. People are freaking out. Yes, people are freaking out, but the recommendations, the guidelines are not silly. That's going to help protect a lot of people from getting sick. So we need to follow the guidelines. So that's take precautions. Number four, look for the good. We can relax. We can, in fact, I would say you can enjoy some of this. Why not enjoy some of these things? I'm telling you, there are some people, even in our church, some people that are a little bit more introverts, let's say, that are waking up every morning thinking that they are in utopia. Like, I stay home. I'm not supposed to interact with people. The meet and greet at church is gone. They're loving this. They're in nerd heaven. They think this is awesome. Can I just suggest that maybe we can find some good in it as well? You know, maybe take extra time in prayer. If you have a little more downtime as you're working at home or you're not able to go to certain meetings, maybe you could read the Bible a little bit more. Maybe that book that's been sitting on your shelf for so long, maybe you could pick it up and actually read it. Maybe rest a little bit. Take it as a Sabbath from the Lord. I actually took a nap this morning. It was awesome. It was an hour and a half nap. I haven't done that since I was 8 years old, I think. That was so good. Rest. Look for the good in this. Get some physical rest. Why not? Take advantage of it. And finally, let's watch out for each other. As Christians, we should do this. We should care for each other. We should be considering the elderly, those at risk, our single moms in our neighborhoods. Let's be wise, but let's be helpful for those that are in need. Let's be thinking about them. Let's call those elderly neighbors. My wife did that this morning. Our next door neighbors have some health issues. They're a little older. She said, I'm just going to call them. And she got on the phone and called them and said, hey, I just want to make sure you're okay. And just so you know, if you need anything, we're right here next door. We'll be here. Just let us know. And that's the right thing to do. That's a good heart. And also, I suggest you let somebody know if you have a need. Let us know. Let somebody, your small group leader, let people in your life know if you have a need or if you feel like you have a need. We want to make sure we're meeting those needs. So finally, I just want to encourage you to keep checking the coronavirus update on our webpage, because we'll have lots of information there. If you're wondering what's happening in our church, that's where we're going to put it. Bottom line, we're Christians. And in times of crisis like this, our Christianity should shine like the sun. It should. It should be so evident that we're different from the rest of the world. We're careful, we're wise, but we're joyful and we're trusting. We're in faith and not fear. Let's not let this crisis, church, let's not let this crisis pass. Let's take advantage of it without demonstrating to the world the love of Christ that is in us by our words and our actions. Let's not let it pass us by. Let's do that. Would you pray with me? And then we're going to have another song. Lord, we thank you for this time. And I thank you so much that you are indeed in control. And I know there's many people that are fearful and are scared. And that's totally understandable. That's rational in one sense. But in the same time, you tell us to be otherworldly, that as Christians, we're not to behave like the world. We're to stand out. Would you give all of us a measure of faith that replaces that fear? Would you help us be ones that pray to you with thanksgiving, that we're not anxious, but we're peaceful because we know we have a God that's in control. The God of the universe is in control. Would you help us? Lord, we want to pray for those who are sick and for their families, that you would protect them and be with them. Help them get well soon. We pray for those who are living in fear and anxiousness, again, that they would be ones that would trust you. We pray for the professionals who are providing medical care. God, they are working probably double shifts, triple shifts, and they're tired, and I pray that you would help them not get sick. Give them real grace, Lord. Pray for those working on treatments and vaccines, Lord, that you would help them and help them be very efficient and be able to create what we need to be able to overcome this crisis. And I pray for all of our leaders at every level. Give them great wisdom and courage to lead us. We commit all these things to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.